Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, and why we are here, and what we may become if you start to come. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we watch X-Squared Radio. Did you know you have existed for many thousands of years? The thought of reincarnation escapes most people, as it did me until I read this book. Your Never-Ending Life is the first in the Universal Learning Series from Sandy Andrew. Search your higher mind, find your soulmate, and know that you are never alone in this world. The treasures of the eternities are yours, and your first step is to read the book. Quit the Banner for Your Never-Ending Life by Sandy Andrew at X Squared Radio, and order the book today. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions for the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now before our very eyes? Who were the Shining Ones who lived on the Earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysm? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two of the theories that are sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com and get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version. Explorers, welcome back to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future, and here the results are always positive, you know. We had quite a year last year. We went from a little tiny Wednesday evening show to a burgeoning Sunday evening show. We went from 1 hour to 3 hours, and we went from nobody to the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. And that is just because of you, and we appreciate that. I want to let you know that Comet McNaught was visible yesterday at sunset if you had a view of the sky. Sunspots 930, 933, and 944, although large, they are quiet, and there are no coronal holes facing Earth right now. The solar wind is a calm 385 kilometers per second, and there is no risk of magnetic storms. So if you're planning any space launches, now would be a good time to make your escape. No risk of cosmic radiation out there in your tin can. In the news, boosted by ongoing astronaut project, South Korea has vowed to go all out this year in the potential rich space development science technology. Minister Kim Woo-sik was quoted by Yonhap News Agency yesterday as saying the government plans to set up a bureau dedicated to space development. He's quoted as saying, "We have a goal of becoming one of the world's top 10 powers in space research by 2015, said Kim, who currently takes the role of deputy prime minister. Toward that end, he says, we will establish a space department in March and produce a long-term plan this year to encourage space development. The minister made no secret of the fact that the push is related to the astronaut project, sending a Korean to the International Space Station in early 2008. By the way, there are several fairly well-funded tourist programs that are going to be putting tourists up in the space station, or at least up on trips on various spacecraft going into space. And if you are a lottery winner and want to get involved in that, you might want to check them out. And in California, soaring energy costs, environmental consciousness and financial incentives have combined to make solar panels part of the California housing landscape. Homeowners see solar panels as a way to be green and save some green. The New York Times said architects are incorporating solar systems into custom home designs, and developers can provide solar systems and solar-ready wiring in new construction. As you know, solar energy doesn't necessarily put out AC like you would run your television off of. Rather, it would charge batteries, and those batteries would then power an inverter, which would make AC for your house. The trend began after the state legislature approved the California Solar Initiative, a solar program that offers homeowners rebates in addition to the federal tax credit of up to $2,000 available since 2006. So you see what happens when the voters talk and make suggestions to their congressmen that various incentives would be nice to bring free, clean, and renewable energy to the consumer level. Solar energy has come a long way, but I must say it has been a long, long time coming. And it is a shame that the government has to get involved providing incentives in order to make these things cost-effective for people. If solar panels were as popular as iPods, the price would be coming down pretty quickly. If it was as popular as calculators or CPU chips are, I bought a 1 gig memory chip for a digital camera yesterday. It cost me $19. I remember a few years ago those things were $200 a piece. We should see the same thing happen with solar panels. Also, the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition took a good step forward last month. We completed the shooting of a video documentary for the Galileo Science Program, which will air in Japan in May of this year. With only 4 major television networks in Japan, there should be quite an audience as we discuss the expedition or the possibility thereof. We have not been able to raise the necessary funds to take the voyage this year, but there is still time. We hope that the attraction of the emotion and the quality of the science involved with this expedition will be enough for the major networks to help the trip become a reality. We have some great science in a brand new location on Earth to talk about, and if we should happen to see something like a UFO or an unusual opening into the inner Earth, and we get it on film, well, needless to say, that changes everything. And I want to welcome you all to a new year with X Squared Radio. We are going to be taking a lot of giant steps this year. We are going to not only bring you great world-class guests, but we are going to try to take each month and focus the guests and speeches and topics and news that we bring you on a certain subject. This will kind of help you maybe better select the months that you want to listen to in the archives, and it will help us to focus our efforts here and not necessarily go out all over the celebrity world with a shotgun trying to find guests. We're only on once a week here, so we don't have to find guests every single night of the week. We can pick and choose the very best. We have made new changes to the website, so we have put the Suggest a Guest form right in the middle of the Radio Archive page. So if you go there, you want to hear a guest that you've heard on another program or that you know, or if you want to be a guest, make sure to fill in the information. It'll send us an email, and we'll be able to contact the guest and even you, and maybe we can get you on the air with that guest. That would be pretty exciting, wouldn't it? I have to say, in the last 2 years, this has been quite an amazing ride. We try to keep everything positive here. I can report of no conspiracies because all of your emails have been wonderful and loving. Believe me, if anything has gotten the best, it has to be the best of me. It has to be the technology. I have learned so much in the last 2 years. It's unbelievable. And I'm not the best webmaster, and I appreciate your patience with that. We're trying to bring you the best sound, a decent website, and great content. It's been one of my greatest challenges of my life, and I never want to quit. You have made it worthwhile coming here week after week and preparing what I can for your edification and enlightenment. And by the way, since we do not have a guest tonight, I'm starting off the year solo. I am going to have a guest next week, and we're going to launch January's Spirit Race. I think you'll be very excited about that. So we're going to open the phone lines right now, and they'll be open all during the program. In the U.S., you can call us at 877-876-5227. I know you have that phone number on your refrigerator and probably on your computer screen right now. If you want to call us in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And anywhere else on the planet, in the planet, or off the planet, if you can boost your power just a little bit, you can reach us at 530-876-3222. We'll take all callers here. We're going to launch into a couple of new areas for you this month. We are going to get some more great authors and speakers to come here for you, but we are going to be centering around what we call the Spirit Race, and I'm going to explain more of that to you as tonight's broadcast goes on and each evening as we get together. Next month, in February, we'll be dedicating the entire month to new energy prospects. This is perhaps the greatest challenge of our day. Some think that if we don't meet it and succeed, well, we may lose the planet. Others think that the best hope for peace is some kind of renewable, clean, and available and cheap energy so that we can eliminate the differences between our countries. Others think that the best we can hope for is for conservation and more exploration of fossil fuels or nuclear power. The ideas range from wind to helium-3 exploration on the moon. You'll get the best when you come here to X Squared Radio. And if you know anything about it, if you are an inventor and have a great idea and you want to float it out there and take your shots, then you can come here and talk about it. We'll give you a very positive forum here. I also want to let you know that Volume 2 of our book, The Ark of Millions of Years, 2012, and The Harvest of the End Times, is coming out in a second edition. There are quite a few really neat, good edits and additions. I have made some changes to the online store as well to try to make it easier for you to get the books and to subscribe to the archives. I'm not the best webmaster, but I am learning every day. Your comments are the best help I could ever ask for. I appreciate it. I also particularly want to thank many of you who donated to X Squared Radio this year. I could not have made it without you. Some of you sent in as little as a dollar, and it was most appreciated. Some sent in considerably more. You can always, if you feel that the content of X Squared Radio or the potential of our programming is such that you would like to see us expand and maybe break into the real broadcast world instead of just the webcast world, your donations will get us there. Actually, the Arbitron surveys went out recently, and X Squared Radio got some hits, so I appreciate it. Some of you out there who got the surveys listed our radio program as the one you listen to most loyally, and we appreciate it. This business is getting more expensive every month as the folks who do such a great job to bring you this program have made their budgets, and they need to make those budgets work as well. Yes, we love the business, all of us, but we are human and have to pay the bills to bring you this content. My heartfelt thanks goes out to Don Newsom, my producer, without whose help I would have given up a long, long time ago. He's doing a wonderful job, and anything that you can do to support the BBS Radio Network by listening to any of the other hosts would also be appreciated by me. Now, a little bit about the term spirit race. We have sort of been teasing you, and I apologize for that, with some subtle announcement. This is because we are working on some licenses and patents on software that I have been helping to write. We are very close to completing that process, and then we are going to officially launch this spirit race. We believe the skills are so powerful, they have the potential to save the human race from stepping off the precipice of self-destruction. These are real-world skills that can help you flow your life energy much better. You'll see. I also want to let you know that I am now studying the Merkaba. Many of you have already heard of that. I was introduced to a great teacher who, with his forthcoming permission, I will share him with you. I will suggest some books that you read, and I strongly suggest that you seek out the teacher and his works if he will let me publicize him. Right now, I haven't spoken to him about this, so I want to make sure it's okay before I share anything else with you. But some of you, as I said, may have heard of the Merkaba. I only learned of it while on a sabbatical in Palm Springs in November of this year. I have been studying it and practicing it in preparation for a class I am attending next week. I have been a student of transcendental meditation since I was 18. I've reached some good levels with that, but I was never able to make it functional in daily life, except for, you know, being able to relax and maybe focus myself. I could reach the quiet mind and even was successful in bringing orbs to the camera while out there in Palm Springs, but the quiet mind is not what I am all about. My mind goes like a nuclear reactor all the time, and I bet yours does too. I know I'm not alone in this feeling. It is for that reason that I became fascinated when I made friends with students of the Merkaba and they taught me of its importance. I bought 3 books and started training about 2 months ago, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. And we'll have some testimonial to go with that here in a couple of weeks. The first book is called Living in the Heart. All of these you can get at the Matt store. That's M-A-A-T store. The second and third are called The Ancient Secrets of the Flower of Life, Volumes 1 and 2. Now, these are not easy reading, as you spend quite a bit of time learning about the sacred geometry, but this is necessary, as sacred geometry is all about the human consciousness. It is understanding these ratios and the nesting of various energies that the human can generate and receive that allows you to capitalize on the realization that you are source. Now, you've heard me say that before, and I know that it's difficult to understand what that means because in this Judeo-Christian society that we have been raised in and helped found our country, source has been traditionally called God, or the source of life, or the creator, or all of these different symbols and words for the same thing. But when you realize that you are source, that there is source inside of you, then that empowers you, but it also incriminates you a little bit. So you have to, I think, learn about what that means before we go too very much further. But let me tell you, this Merkaba meditation is very powerful. It allows you to focus and harness your energy in a very unique way, which is something different than normal meditation would allow you to do. It ties things together. It's very fast-paced. It only takes 17 breaths, well-trained, to get into the Merkaba. And from there, you can go anywhere you want to go. The key shape that you need to concentrate on is the tetrahedron. This is a four-sided pyramid shape. If you're sitting down with your back perpendicular to the center of the earth, picture yourself sitting inside a tetrahedron. This is called the sky tetrahedron, with the point up and the base somewhere about the middle of your, if you were sitting cross-legged, right at the base of your spine. Now picture a second tetrahedron upside down, with the base of that tetrahedron hitting you about right in the center of your chest. This is the earth tetrahedron. The art of this meditation is to visualize clearly spinning these tetrahedrons in opposite directions in a Fibonacci ratio of up to 9/10 the speed of light. Now, this forms a light disc around your hips with a black interface line in the center where the two surfaces meet. In the center of this is a small sun that you create, and it resides in the center of the abdomen right behind your navel. If you can master this, you can move into numerous levels of power, which you can manifest what you need. Now, this is a very, very simplistic view of this meditation. There are other aspects to this. There are scientific and geometrical foundations that it's best to understand before you start into this, because if you don't understand these things, it isn't going to function as clearly for you. It's not going to be controllable for you, and it's not going to help you reach this level of ascension that you need to reach. Once you realize this, you can see this power working within you and the effects it has on what you do in your life. You can see that if you manifest negativity, you will reap that as well. If you are able to manifest positive energy and progressive things, you will see those things happen as well. And there are some masters out there who have really, really learned how to manifest almost anything. And not just for themselves, for those that they love, those in their family, those in their community, even whole cities, even whole nations. And if we can get enough people doing this with the right love, and by love I mean the Merkaba without love is not even close to being effective. It is actually formed by love. Once you build this relationship, this loving, communicative relationship between yourself, your higher self, the earth itself, and perhaps even all of mankind, the love is actually transferred up to a grid that circles the planet, and you can see what effects that can have. It is also projected down into the center of the earth, and that also has a great effect. Now, if you understand that, you can see that most people cannot just change their lives and start flowing positive energy. There are blocks set up inside of you, little walls or mirrors, and they may go all the way back to your childhood and even to previous existences. And I doubt you can remove these on your own. They must be removed or cleared in order for you to start flowing properly. What I mean by flowing, I mean you have energy of your soul, energy of your consciousness, of your will, of your personality, the thing that makes you, you, the thing that drives you. Not the thing that makes your lungs work and your muscles work, but the thing that actually creates your thoughts, that creates your imagination, that inspires your love. That needs to flow without preconceived prejudices or blocks. And this is facilitated by a trained practitioner, someone who has been educated and trained and tested in the area of clearing. Now, I know you've heard that word before, and that word can be quite overused, especially in certain sciences and certain traditions and practices. Sometimes it's quite superfluous. It's very cheap and not very in-depth at all. Other times it is quite in-depth and can take upwards of a year or more to accomplish. Well, I can tell you I'm only a novice in understanding any of this, but these are the kinds of subjects that we intend to bring you with X Squared Radio this year, in addition to the very best science and very best speakers and representatives that we can find. We are talking to the author of Radical Evolution. You'll enjoy that book as well as others that we bring you. I also want to talk the rest of this hour about the 2012 thing coming up. Each year that we get closer and closer to this, you'll hear and see all kinds of books and movies and plays and different speakers, and you may even read articles about it. Everybody is an expert on 2012. I highly recommend that you read the book, The Ark of Millions of Years, 2012 and the Harvest of the End Times. It's a little over 400 pages and very comprehensive. It will bring you up to date with the Mayan, Toltec, Zapotec, and Egyptian views of 2012. This was no arbitrary date. Now, you know that precession, which is the line drawn by the axis of the Earth through the 12 signs of the zodiac, is about to come to an end. It begins and ends every approximately 26,000 years. We are coming to the end of the age of Pisces, and we're entering into the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Now, that's just the zodiac. Many people have their ideas as to what is going to happen. Some say that as we approach 2012, we're going to see greater calamities. We may even see global cataclysms. We may see terrible wars. We may see political upheaval, economic upheaval. Others say that spiritually we have been awakened, at least a small number of us, and we've been able to sort of head that off, that they have not necessarily heeded my words, but I say all the time that if you read, let's just say, the Old Testament and the New Testament and maybe other writings about what events are going to happen between now and the end of times, or the second coming, or this 2012 event. And they talk about wars and rumors of wars, and they talk about the seasons being confused, and they talk about the collapse of the economy and great disease and all of these terrible, terrible things. And they also talk about the fact that it is the behavior and strategies of men that precipitate all of this. Well, all that's well and good, but in my feeling, and I think more and more people are beginning to come around to this, that is sort of like a particular future laid out for us. It's sort of like we have no choice, like we have no will or no chance to survive. We are going down a cattle chute to certain destruction. Well, many of us feel that if we are Source, and if we have the intellect, and we have the will, and we have the ability to keep ourselves clean and focused and cleared and on purpose, and keep our vibration as high as we can and our love as strong as we can, that we don't have to follow that path. We have a choice. And if we really are not selfish about this, not necessarily sacrificial, but if we're more self-centered, that is to say, centered on self and centered on the source of self, then we can come together with this magnanimous love, one for another, and as a people, maybe as a community, but maybe as a nation, or maybe as a people, as a race on this planet, we can choose another path. We do not have to go down the future that has been laid out for us. We can run faster or beside what many think is our destiny. I know you may not believe that, but it is true. As you sit there at your computer right now at work while you have your headphones on, Monday or Tuesday, and you're listening to this program, you do not at all feel like your whole life has been mapped out for you. From dawn to dusk, from cradle to grave, that you have no choice. Far from it. You can be anything you want. You can be anyone you want. You can invent. You can create. You have the power above all the beings on this earth, with the exception of maybe dolphins and whales and such. You have the ability to dream and to make dreams a reality. You have the ability to imagine. That is a spiritual creation once you do that. Once you come up with the image of a new machine or a new house or a spouse or a child or a lesson that you want to teach or a talk that you want to make or a book that you want to write, that's the first major step. But then the next steps are turning that imagination into a reality, turning it into a third-dimensional, functional thing in this sphere. We'll talk about this in coming weeks. We call this the sphere of work. It is the third sphere of nine around you. It is the sphere in which things happen, in which we make things happen. So while you're sitting there at that computer terminal listening to these words while you're working on your spreadsheet or your computer program or your word processing work that you're sitting doing at your for your work or for home, you have to realize that your potential is absolutely unlimited. It is only limited by your imagination. And then it's only limited by your willpower to bring your imagination to reality. Now, for some, that takes a team. For some, it takes a friend. It takes a love. It takes a wife. It takes a husband. It takes a brother or a sister or a partner. It takes somebody to help you bring that to reality, and that's fine. Some things need two people. Some things need one. Some things need 1 million people. These tools that we're discussing, the Merkaba, clearing, meditation, love, raising your vibrational levels, all of these are functional in changing the future that has ostensibly been handed to you. If you were to try to make a choice right now, if I gave you five choices, let's say you had a set of die and you were rolling them, or you had some probability problem sitting in front of you, I would say to you, I would ask you this question. Do you feel that 100% of your life is destiny and 0% is your choice? Or would you say that life is 70% destiny and 30% your choice? Or would you say life is 50% destiny and 50% your choice? And now we cross a threshold. Would you say that life is 30% destiny and 70% your choice? And you know where I'm going with this, the final one, the one that makes the difference, the one that completes you, the one that turns you into, and I'll give you this term in just a moment, a new being. Do you believe that 0% of life is destiny and 100% is your choice, your manifestation, your habits, your life force? If you believe that, then you're ready to take the challenge to become a sovereign being. There is a cycle that many people talk about. I think you've heard some people talk about it on the BBS radio network about be, do, and have. It would seem, if you listen to the media, especially the media in other countries about the United States, you would see an attitude that we are all about having. We want to have things. We want to have a large house. We want to have a new car. And it's got to be a car of our choice, of course. Some of us care about 60 miles per gallon and being green with the planet. Others want a big SUV with a big, powerful stereo and the ability to handle a soccer team from one field to the local fast food restaurant. Different people have different values, but if you were to listen to the media and listen to the commercial world, advertisements from someday you'll own a Cadillac, or you deserve the best, so move into this retirement community, or how about this cruise, or this jewel, or this designer suit? It's all about have. But is it? Is it? I think you, sitting there at your computer banging away, or just listening during lunch break, might argue with that it's not all about have. For some, it may be all about do. Let's do things. Let's go flying. Let's go racing. Let's love. Let's ride. I like to ride myself. Let's swim. Let's surf. Let's do something. That is a great good. Many, many people do things. But there is a smaller community, a more tenuous, a more quiet, a more loving and perhaps humble community, those in the community of be. Now, be is a little different. To be, basically, if you could just realize what it would be like to stand up, spread your arms out, and say, I am. Now you begin to realize some strength, some uniqueness, and you may even begin to remember some things, not just from one single mortal life, or one single year, or one single season, or one single project that you've worked on. You are an accumulation of experience and inputs and outputs, things that you manifest, habits that you form, preconceptions that you build. This be process is quite a different challenge, because each of us are individuals. Each of us are of different vibrational levels, different consciousness, different intelligences, and where there are two, there are no equals. But we're going to talk in the next hour about a different level of that, and I think you'll find it really fascinating. You may even find it inspiring. But this thing of be, this is a very difficult and very obscure challenge to reach, because First of all, you have to realize that 100% of who you are is a result of your choices, not a result of the universe acting upon you, the roll of the dice or destiny. Now, there are people that may have their design on you, and their manifestation and their output involves you. And that is an input to you, but that is by no means destiny. You are not destined to be anything. You're not destined to do anything, although you may have propensities for it, like you may have genetics and a star inheritance and an inheritance in your genes to be a musician. You may have the genes to be a great baseball player. You may be a great poet or an artist. You may be a scientist or a race car driver. All of these things are propensities that are handed down or inherited or moved along by one person to another. But that is by no means destiny. It just means you have the propensity to be those things. What you see in history when you begin to read and explore is you find out that there are individuals whose propensity and whose desire lined up, and they became not ordinary people, they became extraordinary individuals. Da Vinci, Aristotle, Socrates, Edison, Tesla, these individuals had propensities, yes, of course. Riemann, great mathematicians, great musicians, great ballet dancers, yes, they had propensities. But the desire to be and the desire to do lined up with those propensities, and they became magnificent. So you already see the challenge lining up. What are my propensities? What is my ability for magnificence? Who, what, how am I? What can I be? This is where the great love comes out of your heart, and also great humility, because sometimes you realize that you have talents that you've never worked on. You have things that you have a great skill for, a great love passed down to you from ages and ages ago, and you've never been exposed to it. So I highly recommend that you join the ranks of Earth Explorers and you begin your trek. Begin your exploration. Start reading. Keep listening to this program, because we're going to bring the best to you. And yes, we will go past your imagination on a regular basis. But we don't want you to have any fear, because we're here to help you. We will push the envelope, I admit that, and sometimes it goes, it goes a little bit too far, even for me to keep up with, and sometimes I get myself into things that I wish I maybe would have waited a little bit longer to get into. I spread myself out too thin, but I realize that I'm about a third of the way through this mortal life, and it's going to end in a wink of an eye, and I want to be it all. I want to experience everything that I can that's wholesome and good. And I, like you, have this desire to learn inside of me. I know you have it. So as we bring these guests to you with their magnificent books and their great creations, we have some new films coming out this year that are really going to change history. They're going to change the way we think about who we are and where we came from. Yes, there are books out there, but you know, not many people really pick up and read books anymore. You don't realize what it takes to become a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. You only need to sell about 20,000 books to be way up on that chart. 20,000 books is just not very many books anymore. When I was a kid, books sold in the millions, the tens of millions. Tolkien sold almost 50 million books. Well, we do watch movies, though. That is our chosen media. We can sit down with popcorn, some chocolate-covered peanuts, and a friend, and we can relax and be taken on a journey directed by a director in the dark with sounds and lights, and we can watch it over and over again, and we can pick out little details that we missed before, and it can stimulate our minds. If not too much of the film ended up on the editing room floor, which some films I've seen recently have, one of which was Deja Vu. They just missed a couple of things on the editing room floor that would have tied that whole movie together and really made it interesting. But there's a film coming out in very soon that's called One Anunnaki. It is written and directed by John Gress. Now, I know many of you are Sitchinites. I have not read any of Sitchin's books because I'm trying to remain uninfluenced at the moment. I'm working on a third book, which is going to come out this summer. You'll really enjoy it, I promise. That book may touch on some of these things, and I just kind of want my own outlook on it rather than the finished product from someone else. I have magnificent respect for the man, and I will eventually read his books, I promise. But this movie sort of takes the Sitchin story of the Anunnaki and their involvement with ancient man here on this planet. The first movie is not the epic. It is sort of the introduction. It brings the Anunnaki back to mortal times and exposes us to the prospect that we did not start out alone on this world, nor will we continue alone on this world very much longer. And that movie, the success of that movie and the revenue from that film will fuel the second film, which will be the epic film. There are three in the series. The second movie will start out being filmed in Scotland, actually not far from my hometown. So I really want you to make sure to go to oneanunnaki.com. Please go to the link that's on X Squared Radio on the homepage there. Visit John's website. Keep up with the news on that, and we're going to have him on the program again here pretty soon and bring you an update of how that post-production work is going and when the film is going to come out. I am very excited about it, and we're going to be just loving to see this film hit the theaters. This is a digital film, so the special effects that are on the order of Star Wars and Star Trek you are going to see in this film. John has told me that the special effects and the story in this film will take independent filmmaking to unprecedented heights. We want you to be part of it, and you will be as long as you're tuned in to X Squared Radio. We are great friends with the folks down at Florida Effects, which is John's company. So many great things coming to you in 2007. If the ancient predictions are right, and I'm not calling them prophecies, mind you, I'm calling them predictions, the mathematics work out. And there are some things that are going to happen in 2012 that will all be great. Whether or not they will be great and terrible or great and wonderful, we will discuss in the next hour. I want to make sure that you know these call-in numbers. You are free to call in anytime. U.S., anywhere in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Not that you really care if it's toll-free or not. Most people have free long distance these days, or cell phones with free long distance. In Canada, 888-810-8322. And anywhere, in the planet, on the surface of the planet, or off planet, you can reach us at 530-876-3222. It is chilly and rainy here in western Kentucky, from where I broadcast deep beneath the earth. We appreciate you being around with us tonight. If you have any thing that you want to send to us, you can send it via AOL Instant Messenger. my sign name is Vision Officer, so you can find that very easily, or you can call me at any one of these numbers that I just read out to you. And we appreciate you being around. We will be back in about 6.5 minutes or so. So don't go anywhere, Earth Explorers. We need you. You have existed for many thousands of years. The thought of reincarnation escapes most people, as it did me until I read this book. Your Never-Ending Life is the first in the Universal Learning Series from Sandy Andrew. Search your higher mind, find your soulmate, and know that you are never alone in this world. The treasures of the eternities are yours, and your first step is to read the book. Click the banner for Your Never-Ending Life by Sandy Andrew at X Squared Radio and order the book today. There is something about to happen to the Earth. You know it. You can feel it. Well, the creators of the Kill Shot have collected the evidence for you in a stunning new documentary called The Horizon Project. The first DVD is now in print, and you can get it by clicking on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio. Believe me when I tell you, this may be the most important video production you will ever see. This is destined to air on the Discovery Channel or the History Channel, but you need the uncut version. Click the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio and get your copies today. Many people write us here at X Squared Radio wanting to know how to get prepared for the coming cataclysms. Well, we have been successful in acquiring the best affiliate in the world for emergency preparedness. NitroPak has been around for 18 years and can provide everything you need for life. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a year's supply of excellent quality foods and supplements for a single person or a whole family. Don't be left without the essentials of life. NitroPak is the name. Click the banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions for the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now before our very eyes? Who were the Shining Ones who lived on the Earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysm? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two of the series that is sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com and get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version. is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. We appreciate you being here with us so much tonight, and I was on the Kevin Smith show earlier in the week. Kevin is a mentor of mine, very good friend. He's on 5 nights a week at kevinsmithshow.com. He is now in 80 countries and is considered the number one webcast radio program in the world. He's also broadcasting on numerous radio waves as well, so people are hearing him all over the world. Great show. You need to check out Kevin Smith's show as well. Also, I have a couple of ads that I run for a very good friend of mine who is an author. His name is Sandy Andrew, and he writes a book called Your Never-Ending Life. It's part of the Universal Learning Series. And the link is on X Squared Radio. You can go to it, click on it, and it will go to his website. I need you to go there and buy the book. It's just a little book. It's easy to read. And one of the things that that you will learn about, if you haven't really learned about it, you may have heard about it before, but you've never learned about it until you've read this book. It is a book on reincarnation, not necessarily you into an animal or from an animal to you, but multiple lives of human being. And it concentrates a fair amount of the book on the synchronicity between more than one soul. We can call one your higher self, your higher mind. Part of the Merkaba, when you learn to practice this, is that you will be introduced to your higher self. I know that's a little difficult for you to understand at this moment, but let's just think of it this way. You're sitting at your computer terminal, you're working on your favorite project in your office or in your garage, or you've downloaded this show and it's on your iPod, or you've hooked it up to the speakers in your car and you're listening to it on the way to work. If you're able to, without being too conspicuous, I just need you to look around. Just poke your head up over your monitor there or your flat screen, or just, if you're in slow traffic or things are stable, just look in the car next to you. One of the things you might notice is that person may be asleep. Oh, their eyes are open and they're driving and they appear to be working. But you are awakening. You are realizing that you are Source. You are realizing that you can move in this river that you seem to be floating in. You can actually swim, change your location. You can go upstream, downstream, sideways. You can get out of the river and walk around. Yes, there's a difference between you and the masses who are asleep. Now, for now, That's a good thing, because we want you to be awake. We want you to listen. We want you to listen to your imagination, and we want you to seek out this higher self. That is really most effectively done in the Merkaba. Otherwise, you may be looking on the inside of your forehead for just any old thing that might be there, and I'm afraid there might be lots of things there, some of which may not be your higher self. You're going to get introduced to that in the Merkaba. I suggest that you do some research on that and pay attention to X Squared Radio over the next few months, and you're going to learn a lot about it, I promise. These things that are important, key things that are important for awakening you, for allowing you to open the next set of eyelids, as it were, so that you can see the energies and the forces that are working around you and the influence that you have on those forces. Now, there's two things I want to talk about this hour. One is probably the second most important decision you will make in your life. Where am I going to work? What am I going to do? I ask people all the time, even little kids my age, what do you want to be when you grow up? I get the strangest answers. Sometimes people say, well, I'm never growing up. Makes for good conversation. Other people say, you know, I have no idea. Others, very few, say, well, I'm doing it. I am what I wanted to be when I was a little boy. I wanted to be... It's not about me. X Squared Radio is not about me. It's about you. I want to know what you wanted to be when you were a little boy or a little girl. My favorite question to ask people when I go to new locations and give lectures, or I go on contract someplace and I have to meet a lot of new people really, really fast and build good relationships with them so I can complete these projects on time. Some of them are impossible. And, of course, I specialize in the impossible, so that's fine, and I'm sure you do too. This question I ask, what is your dream? Now, that really takes people off guard. And that what they really want to, what they're really used to hearing is, what do you want out of life? Or where do you see yourself in 5 years? Have you ever had that question in a job interview? I'll bet you have. I'll bet you have. I came up with a really good answer one time that got me a job. I'll share it with you. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I said, well, that's not really the big question now, is it? The big question is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? If you have a clear vision of that, I'll help you get there. That's pretty original. Anyway, you'll hear that question. It's pretty standard in job interviews anymore. And you know what? Most people have no answer for it because they cannot see 5 years in the future. They can't get a clear vision of where they want to be in 5 years, what they want to be doing in 5 years. If they could come up with a clear vision of that, then they could work a but first list. No, that doesn't mean you go but first through life. It means that you look at that vision and then you say, but first we have to do this. But first we have to do this. But first we have to do this. And you work your way all the way back to where you're sitting right there in front of that flat screen working on that project of yours, or behind the wheel of that vehicle in that traffic jam listening to X Squared Radio. You work yourself back to that point. And then you simply walk the path without deviation, and you will be where you envisioned you would be 5 years in the future. The trick, of course, is to get the clear vision, to be realistic with the vision. And the other trick is to move the obstacles out of the way so that you can make that happen. I will tell you where most of the obstacles lie. They lie inside of you. In fact, the entire universe is folded up inside of you. You are Source. You can make your world. You are inventing it. You are creators right now. You might be slothful at it. You might be irresponsible at it. But you are creating right now. you see how important it is to move these obstacles out of the way, so that when you get that feeling that rolls your guts up and wakes you up in the middle of the night, oh my God, how am I going to make my house payment? And your heart is beating out of the top of your chest, and you can't make yourself go back to sleep. When those energies seize you, who is it that's doing it? It's you. You have created that. Now, if you had the power to create calm and confidence, if you had the power to create abundance in your life and in the lives of those for whom you are responsible, wouldn't you be interested in doing that? Of course you would. You might think it would take sacrifice. Oh, I have to spend so much time doing this. I have to do something I'm not used to. Not so. It is not a sacrifice. It is a joy. And once you experience your higher self, once you feel the love that is there, it overwhelms you. It inspires you. It's like sunlight pouring on spring grass. Life boils out of you, and the creations that come out of you will show up in everything you touch. It will show up in those computer programs that you write. It'll show up in that process equipment that you create. It'll show up in the line that you supervise at the plant. It'll show up in the automotive parts that you build on the assembly line. It'll show up in your sales presentations, and it will show up in your interpersonal relationships one with another. Yes, it will change things. Yes, it might make other people uncomfortable at first. But it's there, it's real, it's powerful, and it works. Now, that's the micro scale. What job am I going to work at? How am I going to satisfy not only my financial needs, but the needs for challenge, the needs for advancement, the needs for, and this is a very powerful word, you're going to hear more of it from us, the need for rapport. If there was a way of measuring these parameters in a human being, of creating a sensitive, unambiguous, accurate, infinitely precise measurement system for the habits, manifestations, the purpose of people, then we could compare the candidate, the person actually looking for a job, and the opportunity, which is also called the job or the employer. If I had an employer whose purpose was money, I want workers who are money-oriented. Obviously, putting someone there who is integrity-oriented or who is security-oriented would not be very compatible. Even if that person breathed through the interview, within a few months, the differences in purpose between the employee and the employer would make themselves manifest, and the lack of harmony would probably end up in what we call an employment placement error. You might call it getting fired. Now, there are those of you right now who are on your way to work. You may have arrived at work, and you're sitting in the parking lot listening to the last of this broadcast. You're getting ready to go to work, and you don't feel well. I term this parking lot nausea. People that come to work, get out of their car, walk over to the bushes, throw up, wipe their face, and go in and suffer through their job every single day. That, my friends, is no life. That is not what you dreamed of when you were a little boy or a little girl. And that illness that sickness, that disharmony between yourself and where you work is showing up in the product of that company. And that company is suffering because of it. Now, it might be that that company doesn't deserve to have any employees at all because it's so bad it wouldn't be good for anyone. But you'd be wrong, because there are people who thrive in those kinds of environments, but you're not one of them. Wouldn't you like to find an employer that had the same purpose you had? Whether you're building car parts, or you're a carpenter, or you're a medical technician, or you paint cars, or mow grass, or paint houses, or do nails, things that you love doing in a place you don't love. Wouldn't you love doing what you love doing in a place where you love doing it? Of course you would. And guess what? If an employer could have a team full of employees like that, nothing could stop him or her from being successful. Because the love that you have for what you do and the love you have in the place where you are and with whom you work will show up in the product. One thing that you will realize is that there are a few people that really don't have to do anything spectacular when they go to work at a place. Their love, their presence alone changes the productivity at that facility. I don't care if it's a post office. I don't care if it's a movie theater. I don't care if it's a palm reader or a tattoo artist. The love that person has for what they do and where they are affects the universe. Now, that doesn't sound very scientific, but it is. It is, and we, over the next few weeks, will show this to you. The second most important decision that people will make, and we'll touch on these again. I'm going to talk about this for about 15 minutes, and then the last half hour of this hour, we're going to bring these two things together. And you're going to see that it's either about time that you made a change or thought about making a change, or about time you realized you're in exactly the right place to do what you need to do. The second most important decision that people will make is who to marry. Surely, a place to work and a person with whom to share that with. These are the two most important decisions people will make. Now, the choice of who to marry is quite a bit more elusive, isn't it? Because we're influenced by all kinds of other things. Proximity is one, of course. Where we go and where we live has a great effect on who we meet. You obviously can see that unless you have made decisions which are calculated to bring you to the proximity of your soulmate, then the chances of you meeting him or her are very slim. Yes, it is true that there are many soulmates for each person on the planet. Now, let's define what one is. There's a couple of good books out there. One's called Soulmate or Cellmate. You can pick that one up. Of course, we want you to read Sandy Andrews' book, Your Never-Ending Life. You'll learn a lot about it in there. Soulmates, ostensibly, there are several definitions. Let's go through a couple. One is that these are two souls that were, or two spirits that were created at the same time. That's one definition. And they might be the same spiritual age. Let's talk about that just for a second. Take about a few minutes and we'll talk about that. You have met people, no matter what their chronological age, I'm not concerned with that, but you can sense that they're old or they're very young. And by young, I mean they may be immature. They may not understand who they are, why they are here. they may not be aware that they are source or they have purpose in life. They're sort of ruled by their passions and their appetites. When they're hungry, they eat. When they're thirsty, they drink. When they need a thrill, they jump off of something or ride something fast. And when they need love, they unfortunately mistaken it for sex. These are young souls. Old souls have different values. They have a different way of looking at things. They are less easily swayed by the winds of misfortune. Where there are two souls, it is very rare to find two the same age. Does this necessarily make them soulmates? I don't know. I don't think so. Now, there's another aspect of this that needs to be considered at this point, and that is the beginning, the in zone, the nothing, the void, where there is no perspective because there is nothing. If you existed there, you would have existed by yourself. There would have been no up, no down, no left, no right. You would not have experienced any movement because there is nothing to which to compare yourself. You couldn't even realize that you're spinning because there's nothing to watch go round and round. And yet, as source, you can choose to be. And one definition of soulmate is that actually this intelligence, you divided yourself. Just like a cell asexually dividing itself into two, you divided yourself. Those two are soulmates. They are two of one. They are the same energy. They're the same sound. They're the same temperature, the same chemistry, the same ideas, the same temperament. These are much, much more rare. And it takes some searching and maybe some reaching and some subconscious, if we will, energy to find. This is much more difficult. This is not something that happens by chance. This is something that happens by purpose. And unfortunately, it may not happen in a single lifetime, or a single hundred lifetimes, or a single thousand lifetimes. It may take many, many lifetimes for these two to come back together. And keep in mind, there are trillions, trillions of spirits. So, how difficult is it to make this decision? Well, we are not proposing any kind of software or any kind of measurement system to help with that. But this is nevertheless an important decision that people have to make. Or no decision at all. I read recently an article which on the surface would seem like a dream life. Two people, a man and a woman, decided in their mid-20s. They both were professionals. One was a stockbroker, the other was a professional, a female, and they decided that they did not want to live in an old person's home. They wanted to retire early. And so they mutually decided to live a frugal life. They took a certain amount of their income and they put it away, and within 20 years they combined that with their savings with the $100,000 they made off the sale of their house, gave them a little over $500,000, not counting their IRAs and 401ks, which they did not touch, and they retired at 53. Now, that sounds like a dream life. Wonderful. They traveled the world. They went to Mexico to visit and stayed 4 years. Seems like a dream life. I'm sure that they enjoyed everything together, loved together. But the article did not mention that they had any children. Now, if I were to think of two professionals, each making $60,000, maybe $70,000, maybe $80,000 a year, a little bit more, I could say in 20 years you could easily put away enough to retire with some great style, not counting your 401ks, which would mature by age 65. But kids change everything, let me tell you. I have four of them. And for for a long time, for almost 25 years, they have required quite a bit of financial maintenance. It is often said in circles of families my size, you either have kids or you have stuff. Well, we chose kids, so we didn't accumulate a lot of stuff, but we accumulated four of the greatest kids anybody could ever hope for. And they're going to do great things in their lives, too. So it is important who you marry. It is perhaps not a very easy choice. It's certainly not as easy as changing jobs if you make a mistake or want to make a change. So that change is a little bit more permanent. It requires more duty, more honor, more sacrifice. And it just depends on which path you take. But employment is something different. Employment is something we can do something about. That is what we are going to work on this year. Now let's tie these two things together, the great choice of who to be with and the great choice of what to do with one's life, what to be when you grow up. One of the things that people notice really, really quick as they are working their way through college and they're learning things that are changing them. They're learning about sociology. They're learning about political science. They're learning about chemistry. That changed my life, chemistry. I never had any chemistry till I got into college. I took my first chemistry class and realized it was a totally different language. It had its own system of symbols and its own relationships. But I realized that chemistry was everything, and I got inspired. I got turned on by it like no other subject. For a long time, I was just a writer. I wrote books. I wrote stories. I wrote speeches. I loved to write articles and papers. But chemistry inspired me. In one semester in college, I took 12 hours of chemistry. I took 24 hours of chemistry in 18 months. It was amazing. I enjoyed it so much. Ended up getting my bachelor's degree in chemistry. So that changed me. It changed my perspective. It allowed me to systematize my thoughts. It allowed me to focus. It made statistics easy for me. It made mathematics functional and dynamic for me. And I'm sure that it would do the same for you, but you may not like chemistry. You may be intimidated by it. I also wanted to be a good cook, but I think people tell me I'm too skinny to be a good cook, but that's okay. Not many people trust a skinny chef, but I'm sure you would enjoy grilling out in my backyard. As we learn, we change. One of my professors, when I was I think I had just graduated, and he said, now, if you will read 5 books in your subject a year, every 4 years, it's the equivalent of adding another degree in your subject. So stay with it. I took his advice, except I didn't read 5 books a year. I read 25 books a year, and now I read 50 books a year. And I've been doing that for a long, long time. Yes, it changes you. It gives you the ability to converse, cross-thought, to interdisciplinate yourself so that, is that a word, interdisciplinate? I just made it up. It means that you can grasp and weave together multiple disciplines, so that you can understand music from a mathematical point of view. You can understand art from a chemical point of view. You can understand dance and mechanics and love and all kinds of things from different points of view at the same time. It opens your ability to take your mind off of the microsecond in which you exist in the third dimension and comprehend multiple dimensions. Now, what you do with your life, with your work, with your life's work, has an effect on all of these dimensions. Indeed, it does. You remember earlier when I said, by your very presence, you have changed the place where you work. Well, these few, these individuals that change things, that come in and disrupt things, that come in and make you like working there again. Can you imagine that? Yes. We call these people X-factor people. Excuse me while I drink a little bit of water. X-factor people have often been called the top 2%. These are the people that make things happen. They're the movers, the shakers, the changers, the people that unbolt equipment and move it around the plant, that paint things, that add lights, that put signage in and make things run more efficiently and safer. These are the X-factor people. They're the people when you put them on an assembly line, all of a sudden production picks up. You don't know why, it just does. These are the people when you put them as head of a tour group at a government facility or an entertainment area, all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, revenues go up. More people come, but they couldn't possibly know that this person is running the tours. If you go to Disneyland or SeaWorld or Universal Studios, or you go to Mammoth Cave, or you go to the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls, you couldn't possibly know who's going to run that tour at that moment. And yet the presence of that person changes the revenue of that business. How can that be? How can that person resonate that far out into the universe to make somebody sitting down in Detroit, Michigan, thinking about a vacation in Florida, choose a ticket at Universal Studios over going to the Grand Canyon? How can that presence affect the universe that way? It can, and it does. And it does the same thing in your company. It does the same thing where you work. And if you bring that energy to where you work, you're going to have that effect too. But you can't have that effect if you don't love what you do. You can't have that effect, even if you love what you do, if you don't love where you're doing it. So how do you change this? Do we do one big massive reboot of the entire labor world? Shuffle everybody around to places where they love and jobs that they love? Not necessarily. In my contract life, I've been sent into absolute hellholes. Places where the employment turnover would make your skin crawl, up into 70%. Places where the work environment is so bad that if people don't quit, they commit suicide. And yet, within a few weeks of being there, I carve out a place of light. One office, and then another, and then another. One assembly line, after another, and within a year's time, the whole temperament, the whole feeling of that facility has changed. It's not me. It's not me doing it. It's the presence. It's something you do while you're there. It's the love that you have for people. It's the refusal to believe that 100% of life is destiny instead of choice. 100% of life is choice. Remember this. No one makes you mad. You allow yourself to be mad. No one makes you jealous. You allow yourself to be jealous. It is all about sovereignty. It is all about your freedom and your ability, your willingness to let others be free. If you cannot let others be free, you cannot be a sovereign being. To be sovereign means, if you remember the saying, many are called, but few are chosen. That, I think, is one of the biggest mistranslations in all of the scriptures. It implies that you have nothing to do with it whatsoever. You're chosen. And if you're not chosen, that's just too bad. That's a mistranslation. It should read, many are called, but few choose. We're asking you to choose. At X Squared Radio, it is all about your choice. And as you listen to this, while banging away on your keyboard or driving to work or sharing a coffee with someone in a Starbucks somewhere, keep that in mind. Many are called, but few choose. The choice is yours. The dice is in your hands, but you decide what the numbers are. You decide how many spaces you want to move. And guess what? There's no limit. There is no limit. You are a limitless being. The entire universe and all of its components are folded up inside of you. It is your choice. So you don't necessarily have to change jobs, but you have to change your job. The job will become a joy, and work will become life. And then you will never work another day in your life, no matter what you do. I don't care if you make signs for a living or direct traffic. I don't care if you read meters or serve coffee. You can be the best and happy at it if you will bring your love. Meet your higher self. Learn about this. Study about it as much as you can. Start small at first. Go as fast as you can or as slow as you need to. Share it with a friend. Because it's necessary. It is necessary. Now, the last part of this hour, I want to continue on this 2012 thing coming up. You're going to hear a lot about it. It's going to be kind of a deadline, sort of a, we're going to party like it's 1999 kind of mentality that goes on. You have world leaders who are posturing themselves, posturing their people and marketing to their people, propagandizing to their people based on these prophecies, because the masses are so easy to ensnare if they don't have access to knowledge themselves. So you're going to hear about it a lot. And there are some events that have happened in the past, and some very distant past, and some not on this planet. I'm going to share those with you in the last hour. I think you'll be fascinated by it, because we're going to tie things together like the Philadelphia experiment, the Bermuda Triangle, an experiment that's going to happen in 2012, and even experiments that happened on other planets. You're going to see how all that ties together. Many of these proponents, these prognosticators, are talking about a new awakening at 2012. Many are talking about the world coming to global conflict. I've actually heard the word Armageddon used by two world leaders in the last 90 days. Absolutely blew my mind. Could not believe I was hearing it. Two world leaders used the word Armageddon. One was President Bush. The other was the president of Iran. I don't want to mispronounce his name, but I'll just say he's the president of Iran. Both of these men used the word in speeches that they made. Though I think this is highly irresponsible, aligning even the semblance of policy to some insane prediction about a global 200 million man battle, I can't avoid the rhetoric, and so I want to talk about that a little bit. Some say that we are not going to make it, that we're going to end up in Armageddon whether we like it or not. We're going to marshal all of our forces, and everybody's going to be on one side or another of Israel, and it's going to work out exactly the way the prophets wrote it out. Some say that's not going to happen. Some say that was going to happen, but we changed. We grew. We have begun a metamorphosis. And you've heard me use that word before, and it's well used in Volume 2 of our book, The Ark of Millions of Years. If you haven't read that book, you need to pick it up. And by the way, if you buy it this month, we will send you the audio book for free. We'll tell you a little bit about that in the next hour as well. So you have two things, the New Awakening, and you have this global conflict coming. And there are others that say it won't have anything to do with man, that these are extraplanetary. These are universal things that are going to happen as our galaxy passes through a area of dark matter, that the Earth in this time of precession is going to pass very close to the black hole in the center of the galaxy. And that our sun is going to be on the opposite side of Earth from that black hole, and the black hole's additional gravity is going to pull the sun's solar flares so far out into space that there will be conflagration on the surface of Earth. And we quote that in our book as well because it's pretty well founded, and we want to make sure all the points of view are listed so that you can make the choice. And some say that it will be like any other year, that despite all the news and despite all the hype and prognostication and prophecies and posturing, that it will come and go just like 2006 did. We'll watch the ball drop at the end of December. We'll party and we'll hug and we'll go back to our jobs just like we did in 2007 and 2006 and 2005. And it'll be like nothing ever happened. All of the hype and all of the publication will just go by the wayside. So these are possibilities. But I want you to think now. We've been talking almost for 2 hours now about consciousness and about the individual, the power that's within in you, the force. That you are source, this energy, that you can actually change your workplace, oftentimes without even opening your mouth. Just your presence will change things. Well, if your presence will change your workplace, and if your choice, your exercise of source, will change your very interpersonal relationships, change the way you raise your children, change the way you participate in your parent-teacher organizations, change the way you go to work, change your community. Your community will then change your county. And if your county's changed, it might even change the state. Because as you change your state, like the tour group, people are going to want to move to where you are. You'll begin noticing that new home starts are up. Driving those old farmlands, you're going to see bulldozers working, pushing in roads, clearing off foundations, digging power lines into the ground. And you're going to say, hey, what's going on? And they're going to say, well, there's a new plant coming to town. Or this plant's expanding because their sales are up. They need more employees. We're building more homes because we're out of apartments and these people want to move into houses now. things will begin to change. Small communities that have been 6, 7, 8,000 people for years, decades, 100 years maybe, they're going to start changing. They're going to start moving. They're going to start growing. And it's not urban sprawl, my friends. It is the life force in these people driving their communities to greater heights in a planned, beautiful synchronicity of spiritual power. And as counties change, states change. And as states change, the representation of those states change. And if that changes, then the nation changes. And I will tell you, what changes this nation changes this planet. And if this planet can change, well, we've gone a little bit past your imagination now, haven't we? We'll spend a little bit more time on that and try to pull this together for you. 2012 is 6 years away. Okay? Almost, well, it's 11 days shy of 6 years. These are choices that you make as individuals. We're trying to enlighten you to these with this radio program. So that's what we're going to do this year. BBS Radio is going to help us, and we're going to add other networks. We're going to reach out, and we're going to continue to grow. Kevin Smith is number one in the world from Monday through Friday. X Squared Radio's goal is to be number one in the world for Sunday nights. I can tell you this, my friends, it has been manifested. You might as well enjoy it and love it, because it's going to happen. Be a part of it, and it will be a part of you. Our phone numbers again in the United States, 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And anywhere on the planet, off the planet, inside the planet, you might even be able to make interdimensional phone calls at this phone number, 530-876-3222. A lot of people like to sit out there and listen live. They don't want to call in, so they send me messages on AIM, and I bring those to you as they come in. Many, many, many more people, hundreds of thousands of you, listen at their computer screens, or they download the program and listen to it in their automobile because they're really tired of talk radio everywhere else. And that's okay. You're welcome here. And we want your inputs, and we'll provide ways for you to get that feedback to us. Bring us your guests that you want us to have on the radio, and we'll even bring you on with them so that you can maybe even get some autographed product from your favorite author or your favorite speaker. Don't forget, August 10th is the Conscious Life Expo. It lasts for 3 days. It's in Los Angeles. The banner ad a connection link is on X Squared Radio, but I want you to remember that this is one of the premier spiritual events in the country. They've been building it for years. Quite spiritual individuals that put this together. It's a 3-day event. There are lots of booths there. I understand they're just almost completely sold out. Great speakers. George Nuri is going to be there. My friend Nick Begich is going to be there. I'll be speaking Sunday night. I'm also submitting a film on the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition for the film festival on Saturday night. If you're in the area of Los Angeles, within driving distance, you need to come. I'll be happy to autograph your book if you've got it. If you don't, you can pick one up there. And we'll be sure to sign it for you. Also want to let you know, next August at Mount Shasta, we'll put the banner ad up tonight. My good friend Shalimar is putting on a seminar. It's going to last, I think, at least 3 days. And he's got some world-class guests coming in there. And I'm going to be speaking there as well. Not that I'm world-class, but I'm certainly going to love listening to the world-class speakers speak there. You need to make your way to that. It is going to be under the ET banner at X Squared Radio, and we'll try to get that out to our BBS Radio website as well, so that you can get that. We'll have that updated this week. Make sure that you keep up with all of this, and make sure that you come back often to X Squared Radio and pay attention to the things that we put up there. And pay attention to the banner ads that we have on there. All of these affiliates that work with X Squared Radio have great products. You know that we tried for a long, long time, many, many months, to find a good emergency supply company. We went through about 16 or 17 suppliers. Most of them are out in the West. We did not find any that were satisfactory enough to feed you product and to work with us. The one that we ended up with has been in business for 18 years. They have great prices. They have 72-hour kits all the way down to single items. And they also have complete packages, which are a year's supply of food and everything you need except water. And you could even get that if you need it. For a single person for an entire year. So if there are one people or two people in your house, you could easily outfit yourself with 72-hour kits that will get you from a damaged home or out of an emergency situation with at least enough to eat and drink and wear and take care of yourself with in like a weather radio and first aid kit and plenty to eat, MREs, all kinds of high-quality stuff. The company's name is NitroPack, and you can get to that by clicking on the NitroPack banner ad at the bottom of X Squared Radio. Magnificent company. We've sent almost 400,000 hits to this company in the last 4 months, so we're really, really pleased with the way you people have Earth explorers have decided to get themselves prepared. We're trying to take care of the spiritual part, the scientific part, keeping you abreast of the very most latest research, not just in gravitational wave and space research, but also biological research, psychological research, and now we are about to launch the spirit race so that you can understand how these things affect the employment world. You're really going to have a complete comprehensive package if you listen to X Squared Radio each Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So make sure you get yourself the Nitro Pack. At least check it out. At least put that on your favorites. Make sure to come back and go to that when you get your tax return, your tax refund check this year. I think it would be a very, very smart idea to go to NitroPack and at least spend something in preparing yourself. There is no sense whatsoever in going through some kind of catastrophe, be it a tornado or a fire or a flood or, God forbid, blackouts that like we've had in the past. No sense in doing that whatsoever without an emergency supply kit in your home. You've got plenty of time. They're not expensive. We highly recommend you putting this together. Now, you can go down to your local Walmart and put together something that you might think you need. But the people at NitroPack have thought of everything. Everything from a sewing kit to a space blanket to hand crank weather radios to food storage. Everything you need is there. Just check it out is all we ask. I think it would be a very prudent thing for you to do. And as we wind up this second hour, we want to make sure that you stay with us. We are here for 3 hours right here at X Squared Radio. My name is Brooks Agnew, and we'll be back. the space shuttle fleet is very soon going to be retired. No other spacecraft in history has advanced the world more than this fleet. I wanted a way to keep that memory alive in my home, so I went to the space store and ordered a 25-inch model of the Space Orbiter. People who have seen it always comment on the incredible attention to detail in this model. If you know someone who loves the space program and you want to get them a gift that they will never forget, you should visit the space store at X Squared Radio. People are always looking for something inexpensive and unique to give people they love. Well, now there is a way to give a gift that not only says how long you will love them, but it also allows you to help keep the planet green and growing. Tree Givers at X Squared Radio is the company that will plant a tree on public lands somewhere in the 50 states and provide your special person with a beautiful certificate of that placement. This has become one of the most popular gift sites in the world. And because of their love for the Earth, they are changing the world. So visit Tree Givers at X Squared Radio and see if you can find a gift for your special person. Brooks Agnew here with X Squared Radio. If you like wildlife art and would love to add some of the most beautiful replicas to your home or office, you should visit Wildlife Gifts at X Squared Radio. They have everything from pandas to fish to eagles to horses in all sizes and price ranges. No matter what animal you love, they have the art for you. So visit Wildlife Gifts at X Squared Radio for that special someone today. You know, we have revealed to you the ancient predictions that natural disasters are going to increase in power and frequency in these times. We might not always have the National Weather Service or the Emergency Broadcasting Service. So you might want to get your hands on some of the best weather reporting instruments around. Visit Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio and pick up something that might be useful. They also have the neatest gift for your favorite people who like things for the outdoors or for their meditation garden. Check out Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
Welcome back to X Squared Radio, fellow Earth explorers. This is the third and final hour of X Squared Radio for January 7th, 2007. Many exciting things going to happen this year. want to let you know that plans for the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition are looking dim. Not in the sense that we have lost our goal or our sight, but in the sense that it takes a tremendous amount of money to do an expedition like this, that to rent a ship capable of making this trek, just the cost of the ship for 13 days is $1,080,000. That's not chump change. In the past, that's been financed by expedition leaders simply selling the seats to such a voyage. Well, the voyage costs somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 to $22,000 per person. That's out of the range of most engineers and scientists that I know, myself included. Everyone knows that engineers and scientists have no money. We have lots of brains, we change things, we work hard, but we're not the wealthy ones in the world. So if we were to put together a successful financially voyage, it would be made up of rich tourists. And that's not exactly fodder for a great documentary. So we decided to take a different tack, and that is to go to Hollywood and talk to producers. And that's exactly what I did. I went to Hollywood, had some connections. We met up with a producer who has had some success selling productions to the networks like History Channel and Discovery Channel. And they have put out some good productions there, so they have a track record. They can go in and speak to them about projects. And that producer, when I met with him in November, was very excited about the prospect, and we had discussed doing 8 one-hour segments, which I think actually run a little bit more than an hour. It may actually end up being 2 hours on Discovery Channel. Excuse me. But the idea of an expedition to the North Pole by icebreaker that is capable of taking 100, not just ordinary people, but scientists, where we're doing side scan sonar, we're taking water samples, ice samples, air samples, we're taking biological samples, and we're scanning the ocean floor for anomalies, and we're actually looking at it in a 3D side scan manner. Some of it high resolution, some of it low resolution, but the idea that we're looking at a portion of the planet Earth that's never been looked at before really gets exciting. And we were going to run a few experiments, like a dynamo experiment. That's where we're going to trail a wire behind the boat and see what kind of energy we can pick up based on the flux of magnetism that's coursing through the core of the Earth. I think that data would be interesting. In any case, the idea was to put together a group of 100 people with the right consciousness. Now, what does that mean? Well, I guess if you've ever had the opportunity to go to James Gilliland's sanctuary in Trout Lake, Washington, you might understand. Last August was my first time going. I have to tell you that that was a place, and those were the people, that had a profound effect on my life. And I intend to go back this next August, and I recommend you do the same. In any case, that was a group of people that had their consciousness in the right place. The power of that cumulative love and positive energy coming from that many people had a very profound effect, not just on the people that were there, but on other dimensions and on beings who made themselves present for us to witness at that time. Now, that's what it means to get the consciousness of the boat at that level. Now, I felt as expedition leader that we would not be able to achieve that if I had a boatload of rich tourists. It would be best achieved if I had people who had the right attitude, and as well as having the right skill set, had the right attitude and were trainable in these techniques that we plan to expose them to over a 13-day period. We were going to bring also the best trainers on the planet, people that can show them how to feel these other dimensions and show them how to tap into their life energy and understand it. This is important. The idea that we would have 100 people with a common purpose focused on a single goal in a captured audience 24 hours a day for 13 days in an area of the earth so remote that it has never been seen by human eyes before laid quite a prospect for not only a great documentary, but an opportunity with a fair probability that something unusual was going to happen. Something powerful was going to happen. Now, there are those that had it in their minds that we were going to visit the inner earth. And there were those who had it in their mind that just could not be. It was impossible. Anyone that believed that was being irresponsible, and they had a great negative feeling about it. Well, we opened the invitation to both sides. In fact, the very most vocal scientists that I could find, I gave open invitations to, a free ride. If you can make yourself to Murmansk, Russia, and get on that boat, we'll take you with us, we'll feed you, let you swim in the pool, let you experience what we experience and see what we see. And if you see nothing, fine. But if you see something that you've never seen before that you can't explain, we expect you to testify to that as well. Well, you can imagine that with a production company there filming specific events going on, a second film crew that's on a 24-hour-a-day UFO watch, they're covering all four sides of the ship 24 hours a day with video cameras in hand. So should the side scan sonar spook anything up off the bottom or from underneath the ocean, it happens to make itself airborne within eyesight of that boat, and we get it on film, now we have something that's quite a bit different in scope and interest. So that's what we're trying to put together. And I believe that with the weather the way it is going to be this next winter, we would be able to make that voyage all the way up into November without any real problems. We're not going to get locked into ice. We're not going to have seas that we can't manage with a boat that's 450 feet long and weighs 23,000 tons and has 75,000 horsepower. We're not going to get in trouble with a boat like that. The idea was to put ourselves in the right place with the right people at the right time and make something happen. What could happen? I don't know. Would we sail through an opening into another dimension like Admiral Byrd did with his airplane? We don't know. Would we simply take the boat up there, park, watch the sun go down, look at the stars and the shootings, the meteorites come into the atmosphere and look at the northern lights and look at whales and birds and fish? Maybe we'd have great meditation and great songs. We invited the great Stephen Roach to come and compose music while we're there. We didn't get a response back from him, but that's okay. When we get on the radar screen, we'll start attracting these higher profile people. We get on the radar screen when the producers decide to shoot the video or shoot the documentary, and that funds us taking the documentary crew out and actually making the voyage, then we're on the radar screen. So these kinds of events are the kinds of things that change history. In any case, it'll make a great documentary, whether it shows on the small screen or the big screen, could make quite a difference. Well, speaking of differences, I wanted to talk this hour about a couple of events, actually three events, that appear to have had profound effects on the stability of planet Earth. If I go back far enough in time, we go back, say, about 1 million years on another planet, Mars. There was an experiment that was ostensibly performed in which an interdimensional portal was opened and transportation took place between that planet and this planet. That was a very unstable experiment, a very unstable act. Somewhere around 10,800 BC, it was tried again on this planet, around the Bermuda Triangle, and this was tried by off-worlders here on this planet. And as you know, the Bermuda Triangle is still an unstable place of disappearances and trans-dimensional portals opening up for ships, planes, and other such objects and people. Well, in the 1940s, there was another experiment that was performed. It was called the Philadelphia Experiment. Tesla was involved in designing this. Unfortunately, he died right before it was conducted, but he was the designer nonetheless. A lot of people don't know much about the Philadelphia Experiment. You may have seen the movie, you may have seen shorts about it, or documentaries about it, or even read books about it, but not many people really know what was designed, why it did what it did, why Tesla actually put that together, and how he put it together. As it turns out, the energy that it would take to make a ship completely disappear, not just go invisible, but be able to move from one place to another without being detected, would be a decisive military advantage. Everybody knows this. And it is a good demonstration of the interest and financing of our government when it comes to great technology. I'm thinking that Tesla did not have in mind, particularly, military uses of this technology when he created it. My feeling is he had something else in mind completely. But because he was a scientist like all scientists, always looking for a grant and always looking for financing to build the next prototype, he went to the only source available, and that was the U.S. government. And the U.S. government saw the power and ability of this device, should it work, and so they decided to conduct a live fire, as it were, experiment. They put a ship in the water and they put electromagnetic radiators around this ship. But a lot of people don't realize what was done. What was done is an electromagnetic tetrahedron was formed around this ship. A giant electromagnetic Merkaba, as it were, an artificial one. And it was not controlled very well. It was not understood very well. The principle was understood because Tesla believed, and he said that he got the idea from ETs. He said that. But in the 1940s, people really didn't pay that much attention to that portion of Tesla. They were more impressed with the technology that he actually created. They really didn't care where it came from. I don't think in the 1940s Tesla formed the kind of followers that he has today, because today we are, well, we'll discuss that in a little bit. We're a little bit different human than we were in the 1940s. We'll discuss that in a minute. The point is that the experiment was designed to form a giant electromagnetic Merkaba, and the purpose was to see if they could make a ship disappear, transport. Well, the experiment worked to a point. It created an extremely unstable experiment. It ended up in the death of many men. And the deaths that these men experienced were quite bizarre. As the ship and the men upon the ship began to phase out of one dimension and into another and then back again, many of the men materialized back with the ship, but not on the deck, but rather in the deck. The ship and the men materialized together as one organism, and they suffered death because the deck ended up materializing right in the middle of their torso, killing them. And I believe we have a telephone call coming in. Caller, could you provide your first name and where you're calling from?
Sorry about that.
Little bit of feedback, no problem. Hi, Don.
Well, hi, how are you? You know, I just had a question. There was an experiment done by a fellow who had worked with some form of magnetics or electricity or torsion waves. I'm not sure. But they had a documentary of it, and he could blend metals in with glass, coppers in with wood, and he could vibrate them. He aimed some sort of a frequency thing at this, and it would vibrate the two substances together, creating one. They were interwoven. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen. In fact,
that was the Hutchinson effect.
Well, this guy had shown that it could be done simply and easily, and there was a long documentary on it, and the guy, and he just showed it how he could levitate objects, vibrate objects into each other, where glass would become part of the wood, and they would be separate, and he just aims this at them, and then they blend into each other wherever he aims it. Maybe one of your audience might remember who I'm talking about and be able to suggest that video, because I think it might be on the internet somewhere.
It's on the internet. I believe the man's name is John Hutchinson.
Really?
And he was going to come on this program last fall. We had a scheduling conflict. I actually met Ron Milioni, who's a good friend of his, at the Louisville Paranormal Conference, and I think that was September 25th of last year. And that he is a very, very interesting man. Not the credentialed, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. Some great videos and great.
So it is possible, like you were earlier alluding to, that what you were talking about earlier.
Well, yes. I mean, the whole idea of the Merkava is that it's actually generated by a human being. These counter-rotating tetrahedrons actually form an energy disc that, if well controlled, can help a person maintain their memories as they go through ascension and even resurrection.
Right.
But in mortal life, it can be a huge help in manifesting the intentions of the person actually doing the meditation. Now, mind you, I'm just a reading student of it. I've read it. I'm practicing it. But next week, I'm actually going to take the class from the master himself, and then I'll have a show to do after that, to be sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me get on the air with you. It's always a pleasure. Your show is just fascinating. Thank you.
It's no problem. I sometimes worry about not having callers or wonder if they're out there listening. But
you know, they're out there, but I think they're kind of like me. I love to listen to you. Keep going. I'll let you go.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Don. All right. And so anyway, getting back to the Philadelphia experiment, this experiment was conducted without the designer there. It was conducted in his absence. Of course, he was dead because he'd passed away before the experiment could take place. But the point is that it created an instability on this planet, and it actually created an instability throughout space. And shortly thereafter, the ETs began coming to this planet in pretty big numbers to try to correct this, and they've not been able to since. There was another experiment that took place 40 years after this one in 1983 or 1988, I can't remember, it was in the 1980s, I don't have the date exactly, sorry, scientist, not historian exactly tonight, But that experiment also failed to stabilize. And I can tell you that the ETs are very concerned. There are survivors to the Philadelphia experiment to this day have problems with their Merkaba. Some of them have two Merkabas vibrating at the same time in disharmony with one another, causing great anxiety to those people. And although it may be possible to stabilize those or to eliminate one of them so that that person, or actually there's two people, can return to normal life, the word is that in 2012, all will be made right. That in 2012, there will be a Merkaba event that restabilizes the Earth and helps it move into the next dimension as it is designed to do. The Earth, as we have purported to you before, and we write about in our books, The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 1 and Volume 2, may very well be like unto a living thing with consciousness of its own, which means that you could have the ability to align yourself with this frequency change, this energy change that the Earth is about to undergo. Now, you feel it. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. It doesn't matter where you're listening to this program or when. You'll feel it. You know something is about to happen. You know it so much that when the TV comes on, when the show comes on and starts telling you that something is about to happen, it catches your interest. And if it's true, if what they're saying makes enough sense, you might even sit down, grab some popcorn, and watch the entire program. Well, I'm telling you, we have found the source. We know what is going to happen in 2012. We know how it's going to happen. We know when it's going to happen. What we don't know is what effect it's going to have on humans and life on this planet and life on other planets. This planet is key, ties many things together. Someone has asked me if you would consider an original thought as an individual coming in tune with their Merkaba. Possibly. Merkaba is not a natural thing to a human being. Humans, when they are born, hardly a civilization doubts that there is not some veil of forgetfulness and of amnesia that comes over the soul when you come into this world. With that amnesia, you forget how to do things you knew how to do once. You have to rediscover them. So the Merkaba and controlling it isn't a natural thing for a human being. Now, that doesn't mean that it couldn't accidentally happen, that you couldn't somehow get your psyche or your energy or your force or your inner life force such that you could generate it. But trust me, this has been researched and designed very carefully according to sacred geometry going back tens of thousands of years before this time and maybe even to other planets. The most ancient buildings you can find in Egypt are covered with sacred geometry outlining how this works. I believe we have a caller. What is your first name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hello, Brooks. It's Crystal from Prince Rupert, British Columbia.
Oh, yes. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm just really enjoying your program today. Well, it's just 5:30 here in the afternoon.
Oh, I appreciate it. I wish I was there in the afternoon. I'd have even more time to work.
Yeah, I guess you never stop, do you?
I never stop. What is your question?
Oh, I was just wondering, I'm interested in this Merkaba. I believe I've had an experience myself with it. And I'm wondering if other people have had experiences of actually just walking into another dimension momentarily, if this is something that's beginning to manifest now? Or is it just...
That's a really good question. I think that there, I have read about these dimensional portholes, if you will, opening up or being opened up by people or by edifices like Stonehenge and the pyramids and others that have been built. But it requires a lot of human intervention, human participation, I'll put it that way. Either a sound has to be generated by those people at a certain time for a certain length of time, or a certain consciousness has to be achieved in order for the energy to be cranked up or to be energized or to be started.
Yeah, I think maybe the consciousness has to be a certain way. Because I walked into another dimension just out of the blue, and I was in a state of happiness.
Do you think that people manifesting negativity would send this kind of ability into hibernation for a while?
Oh, I really haven't thought about that.
You know, it says in the scriptures, it says that miracles stop happening when people stop having faith. You'd think it would be the other way around. Miracles would happen and people would get faith. But it kind of goes with this.
Yeah, I could see that, you know, because it doesn't, it's funny, it doesn't happen. Well, it's hard to have that blissful feeling, like you experienced that blissful feeling around people that were of that same consciousness. The only time I've experienced, because I haven't had the opportunity to be around people like that, I've experienced it by myself. You know, in nature, like I'm walking through a wooded area.
Sure.
With maybe my herd of goats, you know, that I'm really, and all of a sudden, there's just this... gratitude and appreciation for where I am, and it feels so beautiful and so wonderful that it's like I was just taken into this other world, and so was everything else around me.
Do you think you had a kind of Merkaba experience, or do you think you just had a feeling?
I didn't know it was a Merkaba until much later when I had a contact experience, and it was shown to, I actually saw a honeycomb structure around me, and then I started to study the Merkaba. I didn't know really what to look for, so I started to look up geometry on the computer. Then I was led to Drunbello, you know, and bought his books and tried to have an understanding of what I was experiencing. And I, you know, and I'm right into sacred geometry ever since then.
Now, what was the book that you bought?
I bought all three of his. I bought the two volumes. Well, this is some time ago. I've had them for a few years now.
Wow.
You know, the two volumes of the Flower of Life and that heart book, the first one you mentioned, that's a beautiful book, little book.
That book,
Fire.
Living in the Heart, that is
Living
an amazing
in the Heart, very
book.
Inspiring. Yeah, I just couldn't put it down when I started reading it. that was a few years ago. I sort of get away from it other than, you know, doing the geometry myself, painting, and I draw it on the computer because it's hard to find people that are into it. You know,
did you
look at you sideways. So
I was going to ask, did you practice the Merkaba at all when you got the books? Did you try it?
Yeah, I tried to do his meditations, but I had I don't like to call them guides. I had beings, I guess, that were with me for a time and showed me these things. And for me, it's just a natural thing.
Right.
I don't really have to get it. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. It just started to become a natural thing. It's not really something I have to. But it's not something I practice because it's not, like I said, it's not around me. There aren't, you know. It's sort of something that you just sort of be, I guess.
Do you find that when you feel that your Merkaba is active, that you've got this glowing interdimensional disc around you that you've generated, do you find that people around you are affected by it?
I've never actually tried that in public. I do it very privately.
Ah, I see.
To tell
okay.
you the truth. And actually, what I found ever since I've had these experiences is I've rather alienated myself, I guess, from a lot of what my life used to be like.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, because it just doesn't seem to fit anywhere. But I, you know, I'm not, I've never been a real loner. So it's like I'm trying to find where I fit. But it's not a real big problem if I don't, you know, I'm content with my life. But, yeah, I feel things are beginning to change a bit. Things are opening up. And it's wonderful to hear programs like yours.
Well, what fascinated me about it, I grew up as a scientist, but, you know, obviously have a really overactive imagination, which I bring to bear on this radio program on a weekly basis.
Yeah, likewise. Maybe that's what helps.
But when I see the sacred geometry that's used in architecture and mathematics, I see it applied to the human spirit, and I see that it actually was created and designed because of the human spirit. Then that really gets my creative juices going, and I started really studying it. When I got about halfway into Drunvalo's third book, the volume 2 of The Ancient Secrets of the Flower of Life, of course, lights were going off the whole time that I'm going through these books. And mind you, when I read his books, I read like 3 pages with a pen in hand, and he's got generous borders and margins in his book, so you can write all kinds of notes, which I do plethoriously. I have to think about it for 2 or 3 hours before I go back and read a couple more pages.
He's amazing. But when you get his point, I found it really triggered a real clear understanding for me.
No doubt
about
it.
You know, I could just see our spirits cascading down from the other dimension through the shapes of geometrical form.
Yes, indeed.
It was so clear and simple. And I thought, that's, you know, sort of, yeah, his books have really helped me to understand my own experiences, and the sacred geometry is so important. You know, it really is an important aspect. It kind of helps you put everything together. You don't even have to be a mathematician or a scientist to understand how matter is manifested.
No, you don't have to be, but if you are one, and then you start looking and seeing how ancient Egyptians going back 9,000, 10,000 years, even before the Egyptian society was formed, they understood these things. They built by it. They marked things by it. They set up their governments and their religions by it. It was amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's like we're backwards trying to, you know.
Now, you said
some people think we're so far ahead, and I kind of feel like we're just beginning, just starting to go back to the truth type of thing. Sort of the other way.
Yeah, we have forgotten so much, haven't we?
Yeah.
You said that you use the sacred geometry in your art. Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, I just, you know, after I learned about what it was that I was seeing and what it meant, I just had to draw it. So I started just drawing mandalas and painting them with oil paints, and I just make my own mandalas. But
wow.
Then I got on the computer and started to learn fireworks and Photoshop and found that a little bit more fun. You know, you got a little bit more flexible. So I've been doing it that way. So I put a website up just with my drawings, and then I have links to programs like yours.
Well, great. Well,
give us the
website. We'll put the link on there.
I put your link up. I took the liberty of putting your link on there already. It's been there for quite a while.
Wonderful. We appreciate it so much.
This
year is just going to be fantastic. The guests that we've got lined up to come on, and the ideas, how we're going to try to focus month by month the list of guests that we have together so it's not so scattered. And I would really like to know what your website is. If you don't mind, we'll put a link on our website.
It's really great there. It's just very simple. It's Mandala Central.
Mandala Central?
Yeah.
.com?
Yeah, mandalacentral.com. Like I said, it's nothing much. It's just my...
Well, that's okay.
My playing around with geometry and putting links up. You know, that anything that I find interesting, I put a link up. And
Well, you sound like someone that's done a lot of exploring yourself. Do you have any guests you'd like to see on X Squared Radio?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Did you have Jerry Rose? No, I think that was Kevin Smith.
No, I haven't had Jerry.
Yeah, really, I think Kevin Smith had Jerry Rose on the one time. I thought he was just fascinating. I've got his link on my website, too. I watched his TV productions there and going through Peru and the ancient sites he's working on. Yeah, I really found him to be quite fascinating. I mean, his healing ability, he heals by, you know, he's sort of remote viewing, I guess, looking into people's bodies, and he can see or feel what needs to be fixed, and if he can, he can fix it.
Wow, that's great.
Like if, you know, someone has a, yeah, and I thought that was, and quite legitimately, I just really got a good feeling from, you know, what he, well, I think he's quite legit. But, yeah, I think I emailed you a while back asking to have Jerry Rules on, and then, lo and behold, a little while later, Kevin Smith had him on. So,
well, I'll call up my friend Kevin and see if he can't get me his contact information. I'll get him on the program for you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, it's really wonderful to hear all your programs. I try and catch all of them.
Well, I appreciate that so much. I sometimes am overwhelmed by it because I try to maybe make the quality of it as high as I possibly can, and I get disappointed when it doesn't reach my standards. And I'm just new at it. I've only been doing it a little over a year, but I'm getting better. And,
oh, you're doing a good job. I listen to you on Kevin Smith, too. That was a really good show.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
One. Yeah.
I have another friend, Bruce D. Collins, who's getting ready to get back into the business. He got out a little bit. They had some conspiracy theory stuff going on, it appears, and now it looks like he's going to get back in the saddle, and we can't wait. He's a really good host.
Oh, sounds exciting. Okay, well, I'll be looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much for your call.
And thank you. Okay, good night.
Good night. All right, Earth Explorers, that was a great listener. She's called in from time to time. Her website is mandalacentral.com. It's probably spelled just like it sounds. You could probably do a search on it. We will do our best to get a link on that on our website. We'll put a page up for links. We have one. It's just not very prominent right now because of my inability as a webmaster. But with your care and attention, we will do whatever you want done with X Squared Radio. We're going to be very, very responsive to you this year as we try to take this to the next level. So, getting back to the Philadelphia experiment, what was conducted created an instability throughout the solar system, maybe even throughout space itself. And what happened was, a very short time later, within a few years, the ETs began coming to this planet in great numbers. And by the way, I had an interview last week with E.J. Clark and her brother Roger. And let me tell you, these were two eyewitnesses that have never been interviewed before, ever. We have the audio. We're processing it right now. I've interviewed them by telephone, so it's not a regular studio interview. We may transpose it and put it in writing form, but I think you people need to hear this interview in audio form. These two people were children in automobiles, and they witnessed the crash at Roswell. They were there when it happened. It happened right over their vehicles in that desert that night. And they have a little bit different story than what you've been hearing, the official government version. Now, in those days, there was no interstate. There were only two-lane roads out in the desert that went from these various cities, one to another. So, and they drove in an old, I believe it was a 1946 Ford that they were driving in. So They weren't going 70 miles an hour like we do today. These two-lane roads in the desert had no lights. You're talking 6-volt systems, so not very much light. You're probably going 40 miles an hour. People drove at night in those days because cars did not have air conditioning. So they were about 50 miles out in the desert when the Roswell incident happened right over them. And these ships traveled about 170 miles in about 10 to 12 seconds. Now, if you do the math, that's really, really fast how this crash occurred. One of the crafts was found at Roswell, and the other one was found months later at Corbin, and another one at San Augustine. So these were eyewitnesses, and I have the first live eyewitness account from two people that survived and lived and told that story. Now, they didn't even know the crashes had occurred till about 15 years ago, because where they lived in rural West Virginia, there was no cable TV, only had local TV. So only 15 years ago did they relocate and begin to hear about it, and they started talking to one another and said, wait a minute, we were traveling across the desert that night. And they tell a story that is just fascinating. It's about a 30 to 35 minute interview. We're going to mix it down. We're going to put it on the website, and you guys are going to be able to listen to it. Trust me, this is a world exclusive. You won't want to miss it. Now, the quality's not that good. I'm going to do my best to get the mixing where it needs to be so that you'll enjoy it. But we are going to transcribe it, and Art Campbell is transposing it and putting it into his next book. Art Campbell's been a guest on this program. He wrote the book on the crash at San Augustine. So you need to read the book, and you need to tune in, and you need to come back to X Squared Radio so that you can see that. And don't forget, in February 10th at the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, the booths are about sold out, but there's always room for more people to come to those exhibits and those workshops. I will be speaking Sunday night at the free speech, so you do not have to pay a dime to hear me talk. I expect to pack the place and all the way out in the hall. I'm going to be there with George Noory and my good friend Nick Begich, and let's see, I'm reading a message that somebody sent me. Yes, and I also want to let you know that the archives have been fixed. As it turns out, we had kind of a Y2K problem, you might call it. When 2007 rolled over, my subscription software license expired when it shouldn't have, and we got a hold of the company, and they promptly fixed it. And we're very happy with A-Member Pro. That's the subscription software that we use. So if you have a username and password, and you can get into our archives, they are as cheap as $1.67 a month. If you buy a year's subscription for $20, you get access for $1.67 a month. That's about as reasonable as I could make it. If you want to buy 1 month at a time, it's a mere $2.50, less than a bag of popcorn for an entire month. And you can actually access all of the archives. There's over 170 hours of archives there for your enjoyment. And we are adding to them at least 3 hours every week. And we will try to make these as high a quality sound. We are contemplating giving them to you in lower bandwidth quality, but right now we put them up at 128K. That makes for a very nice, rich studio sound. We are going to try to go to MP4 format, which will allow us to drop down to 64K and still give you that 128K rich sound. We know, we realize that many of you access the show by dial-up, and BBS Radio is very good about providing a low bandwidth feed for us. We appreciate that. They've done marvelous things with their network this year. We expect great things out of BBS Radio in 2007. They recently incorporated. They have attracted the interest of entire networks, and hopefully, if the good people at XM are serious, get serious about building a paranormal channel, Of course, our recommendations, and many of you millions of Earth explorers out there that listen to this program, believe that VBS Radio deserves its own channel on XM or Sirius. So if you're an executive with one of those and you happen to be tuned in tonight, or somebody turned you on to X Squared Radio today, and you're listening to it at your executive desk up there in New York, you need to look no further than VBS Radio for that next hit channel. Enough content to go around, I promise you, and the hosts are all high quality. Here in western Kentucky, things move rather slowly. We watch the sun rise and set, and we don't really get in a hurry about it. But we care about you. We are pouring our intention into building this radio program into the highest quality that we can. Pay close attention, because the spirit race is about to begin, and you don't want to be left behind. This is something that, with a little bit of reading and a little bit of practicing, not only can you end up with a way better job than where you're working now, and if you're not working, there's no reason for it, let me tell you. The people that with whom I'm working, my partners in this venture, are some of the best placement specialists on Earth, very, very successful, and they do it because they are successful because they pay attention to the things that really matter, not just the education and the hard skills, but they also pay close attention to the things that really make a difference in the human psyche, and the psyche is the soul. And if you want to participate in that, believe me, we're going to kick off the spirit race in a big way. Some of the absolute best practitioners on Earth will be on X Squared Radio. Those archives will be available for you. We highly recommend these people. We've listened to their stuff. We've met them in person. We've gone through their courses. I have personally, and I can vouch that they are the highest quality that you can imagine. And they will, if you pour the least amount of effort into it, they will make it where you can master the abundance that you need in your life, and maybe the abundance that you want. That would be nice too, wouldn't it? That you would be able to have the kind of income that makes you comfortable and makes your family comfortable and doesn't trap you down in what we call solids, where you're all the time worrying about lack of abundance. We want to take care of that for you, because that's one of the most important decisions you will make as a mortal on planet Earth in 2007. We want to help you as much as we can. Don't forget to visit the many sponsors that we have for X Squared Radio. The banner ads are at the bottom. And don't forget about that. The two events coming up in August. One is at Mount Shasta. It will be under the ET banner. Shalimar is putting on a seminar out there. He's got some great speakers coming out there. Not just me, but others. And don't forget James Gilliland's Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference coming up in the last week of August. You don't want to miss those. They don't cost much to go to. These are very reasonable events to go to. Trust me, if you want to have an ET experience, James's Ranch is the place to be. If you're in the United States or anywhere close to it, you want to have an ET experience, that's the place to be. I've never seen one before I went there, and believe me, I'm going back. It's a great place to be, and he's made a lot of improvements to the place since I spoke out there last summer. Last summer, even in Washington, it gets rather warm, and in the meeting hall we had maybe 200 people, but only open-door air conditioning, so it took its toll. But, hey, they've got some amazing water. James has, in the neighborhood, is a local scientist who has literally perfected the science of bottling water. He crystallizes oxygen and puts it in the water. I drank this water for 4 days, folks. 4 days. Not only did I not get hungry, literally had to go down to the restaurant and force myself to eat a small meal or drink a smoothie, But not only did I not get hungry, I didn't get sleepy in the afternoons, and I peeled off 12 pounds in 4 days, and it was a great feeling. Let me tell you, I went from a 38 to a 36 in 4 days. I'm not saying it's a great diet camp, but I'm telling you, that water is worth the trip by itself. But if you want to have an ET experience, that's the way to go. If I can, I'll put a link on our website for that water. You can order it and have it shipped to your house, although it is 8.8 pounds per gallon. That's quite a bit to ship. It might be worth it. You might need a hose from his factory to your city, but you might even want to set up a distributorship, because once people drink this water, they'll never go back to this filtered tap water that you find in plastic bottles. We appreciate you being here at X Squared Radio. We will constantly do our best to bring the best guests to you, and we're going to do what we can to bring things that will help you change your life for the better, change those around you. Don't forget, in February, our concentration is going to be on new energy. We'll not only be talking to people that are in the solar business and wind business, but people that are actually tapping into Earth magnetism and turning it into electricity. Some of this stuff is right out of Star Wars, folks. You're really going to enjoy it. Many of these inventors have great ideas and great dreams. We're trying to form a company to help them get to their pre-prototype stage. If we're successful with that, then we'll help change the universe as well. We're just trying to help. We're not trying to get rich off of this stuff. We already have all the money we need. All right, my friends, I will let you go just a few minutes early, because here at X Squared Radio, we know your time is as valuable as ours. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.